instilling the values of democracy and sustainability and living in tune with the ecosystem into every stage of business. And that's really where the cooperative tradition comes from. And it's an ongoing exercise and experiment. Why it is less sort of viable journalism to look at that than it is to constantly write about the Wall Street titans that you described at the beginning, I don't know. I would encourage more journalists to get out there and do it. The stories are right in their backyard.
We've been speaking with Laura Flanders. You can find her work online at grittv.org. And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find them on FAIR's website. It's fair.org. The show is engineered by Kelly Spivey. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock. Next is your favorite, Bread and Roses.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 38th Annual Portland International Film Festival, taking place now through February 21st at many locations all over Portland. This year's festival brings over 150 films from around the globe to the Portland metro area. There are strong selections of Hispanic language films, new directors, and documentaries, as well as PIFF After Dark screenings. Again, that's the 38th Annual Portland International Film Festival running through February 21st. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, this is Sun Lee, KBOO's membership coordinator. I wanted to take a moment to thank you for becoming a member. Everyone at KBOO is grateful for your generosity, and without your support, we would not be able to provide you with the great news, music, and programming that you have come to expect from KBOO. If you haven't joined our community, please consider starting a monthly deduction by going to kboo.fm/give. Or you can call 503-231-8032. Thank you.
Welcome to Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists bringing you feminist news and public affairs programming every Friday at 6 p.m. here on your favorite community radio station, KBOO. And women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. That's 37 years, folks, and we're very proud to pass it on. The Bread and Roses Collective always welcome new collective members, no experience necessary. So if you would like to join this 30-year-old collective, host, produce, or engineer with us, you can contact KBOO's volunteer manager. Her email is volunteer@kboo.org. And you can also find Bread and Roses on the web, kboo.fm/breadandroses. And if you go there, you can leave us some messages or comments, but you can also listen to past shows. And of course, we are on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses, so like us there. Well, I'm one of your hosts for this evening, Delphine Crescenzo, and I have the great pleasure to be co-hosting this evening with a brand new collective member, Zoe Pelyefus. Zoe, welcome to the collective.
Thank you, Del. I'm very excited to be on the collective. I get to spend time with one of my best friends, Delphine, who invited me. And I'll be exploring themes on sexuality, reproductive health, violence against women, and the analysis of sexism.
Well, that sounds right up our alley. So thank you for joining the collective.
Thanks. Tonight, Dal, on Bread and Roses, we're going to celebrate International Mother Language Day with Bangladeshi journalist Monica Islam. UNESCO of the United Nations have recognized February 21st as a worldwide opportunity to promote linguistic and cultural diversity and
multilingualism.
There we go. The date represents the day in 1952 when students from different higher education institutions in Bangladesh demonstrated for recognition of their language, Bengali, as one of the national languages of the then Pakistan, were shot and killed by the police in Dhaka. International Mother Language Day was proclaimed by the General Conference in November of 1999. 10 years later, in 2009, the United Nations General Assembly, in its resolution, called upon the member states to promote the preservation and protection of all languages used by people of the world, to promote unity and diversity and international understanding through
multilingualism.
Thank you. Social justice is an underlying principle for peaceful and prosperous coexistence within and among nations. We uphold the principles of social justice when we promote gender equality or the rights of indigenous people and migrants. We advance social justice when we remove barriers that people face because of gender, age, race, ethnicity, religion, culture, or disability.
Well, for more on International Mother Language Day and the significance of February 21st in Bangladeshi history, Zoe and myself interview Monica Islam, who is a freelance journalist based in Dhaka, Bangladesh. In the span of 4 years, she has written over 100 articles on lifestyle and public policy for The Independent of Bangladesh, The Daily Star of Bangladesh, World Pulse, Dhaka Tribune, and Your Commonwealth Youth Magazine. Monica's work focuses strongly on gender issues, including women in financial and environmental management, women's reproductive and mental health, religious fundamentalism and women, sexual harassment in grocery stores, and more. In 2013, WorldPulse, a U.S.-based social media enterprise, selected Monica as one of 31 Voices of Our Future correspondents from a pool of 570 outstanding applicants. Trained in journalism by Thomson Reuters Foundation, an international center for journalists, Monica is also a radio talk show host at Sylvia Global Media Network, a freelance public speaker, and a blogger at People, Places, and Ideas. Well, we started our conversation by asking Monica about the significance of February 21st in Bangladeshi history. Here is Monica Islam. Welcome, Monica, to Bread and Roses. If you could explain a little bit, what is International Mother Language Day, which is celebrated worldwide on February 21st, and really the significance of the date?
Okay, so before I answer that, I think I need to give a brief background. I don't know if it will be that brief, but I need to give a background about the historical context. Mm-hmm. So the pre-1971 Pakistan consisted of various ethnic and linguistic groups, and East Pakistan, which is now Bangladesh, had a large Bengali population, almost the majority. So beginning from 1947, the then government of Pakistan was making preparations to declare Urdu as the only state language, and Bengali script was removed from the list of approved academic subjects, as well as from currency notes and stamps. And this went on even after repeated student protests, first in December 1947, then on 11th March the next year, 1948, when many student rally leaders were arrested, and so on and so forth.
And on 21st March 1948, and then later on 24th March, despite several interruptions from the audience, the government announced Urdu as the only state language and advocated its exclusive use in the media as well as in schools. So anyone who opposed this was branded as an enemy of Pakistan.
Wow.
And the leaders conveyed this message via radio on 28th March 1948. And that's why I'm so lucky and I'm so happy that I'm getting to share this history on radio. it really brings a lot of memories.
Mm-hmm.
So the leaders even overturned the previously signed agreements on this issue. You know, memorandums were submitted and committee reports were drafted to, you know, integrate the Bengali language, but to no real effect. And for this reason, there was a growing sectarian tension, which led the government to ban public meetings and rallies, including any gathering of more than three people.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
So the students of Dhaka University, which was the public university, the only public university in the country, in East Pakistan, along with political activists, they defied the law and organized a protest again on 21st February 1952. And several students were killed by the police on that day. Following that, around 30,000 people protested in Dhaka, which included people from all walks of life. And many officers and clerks of different organizations halted their work and joined the procession.
Wow.
And during that time, the government censored news reports and withheld the exact casualty figures during those protests.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's the usual case every time. So, pro-government media held Hindus and communists responsible for encouraging the disorder and student unrest, murder charges against the police officers who fired indiscriminately on the students were dismissed by the police. And on 8th April, government report failed to show any particular justification for police firings on the students. And afterwards, the language issue was shelved on numerous counts from, you know, major legislative meetings. And it is very difficult to really ascertain the exact motivations behind all these repression. But it was definitely done for political, dominance. Some records suggest that many West Pakistan leaders perpetrated this language movement as a fifth column to divide Pakistani Muslims.
Oh, wow.
And many felt that Urdu and only Urdu embodied the spirit of Muslim nations. So anyone who disagreed with this idea was labeled as enemies of Pakistan. And the government even suggested that Bengali be written in Arabic script as a potential solution to the language conflict.
Oh, wow.
And after years of conflict, the Bengali language was granted an official status in 1956. So that's like almost like 4 years after the protest and the killings. And this movement catalyzed the liberation of Bangladesh in 1971 because at the same time, there was discrimination against the Bengali-speaking people. Most of the positions in government, civil services, and military were held by the people in West Pakistan. And the movement also led to the creation of Bangla Academy, which is entrusted with the preservation of Bengali culture, language, and literature, and it is still operating. And in 1999, UNESCO declared 21st February as the International Mother Language Day in honor of the movement and also of the linguistic rights of people around the world. And the United Nations believes that upholding the linguistic rights of people is a means of ensuring social justice. So coincidentally, in 2007, 20th February, which is a day before, you know, the 21st February, was declared as the World Day of Social Justice. So it has a great correlation, language and social justice. And in short, I hope, the language movement was a movement advocating for the official recognition of the Bengali language.
Mm-hmm. And so what is symbolic move on the part of UNESCO to pick that date to celebrate that all over the world?
So as you're telling the story, I'm realizing this is something that happened some years back. Was there anybody that you personally know or someone from your family that was involved in this?
No, we don't have any historical records of our family's involvement with the liberation movement. But I can state that my parents and grandparents were deeply affected by the struggle, and they had to constantly migrate to, particularly to India, in search for peace and better work opportunities. But we could not preserve the exact historical records, and I cannot for sure state that, you know, my family was personally involved or not in the protests exactly.
But they were definitely living under the repressive laws during the dominion of Pakistan.
Yes, they were deeply affected, and they had to, like I said, they had to constantly migrate to India. So in search for, you know, work and just better conditions, not discrimination. So I hear a lot about how my grandparents from my mother's side, maternal grandparents, were constantly migrating to India.
Hmm. I'd love if you could, for our audience member who might not be very familiar with the geography and demography of Bangladesh, if you could kind of situate it a little bit for us and tell us about the current diversity of the country.
Okay. So Bangladesh is a country in South Asia, and it is surrounded by water bodies, mainly three rivers, Padma, Meghna, and Jamuna. And it is located on the world's largest river delta, the Ganges Delta. Mm. And Bangladesh has about 57 transboundary rivers. So it is a very, you know, low-lying country, with most parts of Bangladesh only about, I don't know, 40 to 60 feet above sea level. Mm. And on one hand, the country faces the risk of flooding, which also puts it at risk of earthquakes and other climate disasters. Mm. And approximately 20 million could be displaced by rising sea levels. But on the other hand, these water bodies make it a very resourceful destination. Mm. So it is well suited to be the top producers of fisheries and fruits and rice crops. Mm-hmm. And the northern and southeast parts of the country are highlands, as well as wetlands and tropical forests. So there's a lot of greenery in these parts. And the world's largest mangrove forest, Sundarban, which has been designated as a World Heritage Site by UNESCO, is situated in Bangladesh.
Wow.
And there is only one coral reef in the country, which is the St. Martin's Island. And additionally, Bangladesh has about 50 wildlife sanctuaries. That includes national parks and marine reserves. And due to its location, the country has a tropical climate with a few months of winter and, you know, many more months of hot, humid summer. And it is one of those countries without any snowfall, but heavy rainfall is common during June and July and August, you know, middle of the year, mm-hmm. that is. And I believe Bangladesh has been a peaceful neighbor to India, Myanmar, Nepal, and Bhutan. These are the countries by which the country is bordered. And the country's commitment to peace is demonstrated by the fact that it contributes one of the largest peacekeeping forces to United Nations missions abroad.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. And demographically, Bangladesh is the 8th most populous in the world. And it is home to an estimated 160 million people.
Wow.
Majority of whom I believe is hardworking, simple, and sincere. And the most interesting aspect of this demography is that its median age is only 24, which means we have a large pool of youths. Bangladesh has a demographic dividend, you know, an advantage. But depending on the country's long-term investments on education and infrastructure development, this huge population could either be a boon or a bane.
Yeah.
So I hope the government is paying attention because reportedly around 60% of the population is literate, which means that 40% of the population cannot read and write. So that is, you know, relatively, Bangladesh has one of the lowest literacy rates in the South Asian region. And as of 2006, the national budget allocation to education comprised of only 2.4% of the total GDP of the country. So in addition, although the vast majority of the population is Bengali, the country does have indigenous people and refugees from the partition of India and Pakistan in 1947. So these people need to be integrated into the mainstream. And these are basically the two issues that the government should really look into. And other than that, although Bangladesh is a Muslim majority nation, people of all faiths and philosophies coexist without any major tensions.
You are listening to Bread and Roses, and I'm Zoe Pliafis. We just finished listening to Amar Vayir Rakti. Tonight, we're celebrating International Mother Language Day as we play an interview from Bangladesh journalist Monica Islam. She just shared a bit about the history of language repression in her country. Monica, during our email exchange planning for the show, she was going to translate some of her responses into Bengali. By the time we interviewed her, she had changed her mind, and this is why.
Also, I wanted to ask, you had asked maybe if some of the responses you could translate.
Okay, yes. I think it's best that we continue this in English,
okay,
because my spoken Bengali is not very, pure.
Okay.
Because, you know, there are different ways of speaking Bengali.
Well, tell us actually about those different ways.
Okay, so what I mean by different ways is that there are different dialects. So people in Dhaka speak Bengali in one way, and then people in other cities speak Bengali in some other ways. And then that's one part. And then there is this also, like one is very casual and the other is very formal. Mm-hmm. Like you have it in English as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. So, in my country, especially like the younger generations, I would say, are very comfortable in casual Bengali, but we are not very well versed in formal Bengali. And formal Bengali is the one that needs to be spoken on this day. So I just don't want to disrespect the language in its pure form by speaking something really, you know, in a way that is not probably accepted formally. So that's why I thought of, you know, not translating it.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm just curious as to why you think that the newer generation are not as versed in speaking the formal version of the language.
So I think it is a post-colonial issue. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of English medium schools in our country. So most of the parents want children to be educated in English medium schools because they think that, okay, so these English medium schools are going to give better education. And some parents also want their children to leave the country, surprisingly. You know, they think that, okay, you get better education and then just emigrate, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the reason why, most English medium schools do not really focus on the Bengali language or of any other language for that matter. So it was the same in my case. I have been educated in English medium schools. And there is a gap. There is a gap between English medium and Bangla medium, not just in language, but also in attitude. For instance, you know, Bengali medium people, sometimes some of the people think that, okay, English medium school students are not very respectful of the Bengali language or the Bengali culture. And on the other hand, English medium, a few, you know, not all of them, but a few English medium students think that, okay, so you're not fluent in English, so you must be very dumb. So, you know, there's this
social
gap.
Pressure.
Yeah, social pressure. And there is also this issue that, there's also this thing that a few English medium students think that, okay, so you're from a Bengali medium school and you cannot really get along with people, you know, get along with, people of the opposite gender or of other faiths. You cannot just integrate well. And that's kind of ironic. I find it really funny because I think the language movement was all about integrating everyone, you know, people who speak different languages.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there is this gap between the two forms of education. And this is the reason coming. I'm sorry I digressed a lot.
No, that's great.
But coming back to your main question, it is this that this is the reason why many English medium school students are not very fluent in Bengali, including myself. And I'm not very proud of it. I'm not. But it's very difficult to tell others that, you know, to explain this to others. Because others think, you know, people think that, oh, okay, so you don't respect your language or you don't respect your culture. But the truth is that in our school, we were not given, you know, that attention or for, you know, learning the Bengali language or any other language.
So very shortly, the 21st will be upon us. And across Bangladesh, on International Mother's Language Day, which is also referred to as the Language Movement Day or Language Martyrs Day, how do the people of Bangladesh commemorate the struggle?
Okay, so now the day is a national holiday in Bangladesh, and most institutions chalk out elaborate programs such as homage and cultural performances to observe the day. So a month-long event called the Ekushe Book Fair is held every year to commemorate the movement. And it is going on right now in my country. And I'm planning to visit it today, right after this show, yes. And although the political situation is hampering the festivities, the fair is going on.
Tell us a little bit more about the fair and what's going on politically.
Okay, so the Ekushe Book Fair, like I said, it's a month-long event. And, you know, it is organized to sort of promote Bengali literature and Bengali language, obviously. So you get books mostly in Bengali, but a few English books, say translations, are available. But mostly it's fair selling books in Bengali, and many renowned authors. You know, you will get books of written by many renowned authors of the country of Bangladesh, and politically, the situation is this that. I think it was aired worldwide in major news outlets, but it is an old story. During the elections, you know, the current government went ahead with elections without including the participation of the opposition party.
That's
so it was, and you know, there were major tensions in the country, and it was a headline in many news outlets. So what happened is, now that the anniversary of that, you know, of that election you know, happened in January, the opposition party finally said that, okay, you know, we don't accept these elections, and it was held without our participation. So we want to have a movement protesting those elections. And surprisingly, I don't know what the ultimate motive is, because if the opposition party is indeed wanting credible elections, as they say it, then why are they not joining in a dialogue? Because what is happening is a lot of attacks on common people. There's this phenomena going on where you know, people are hurling petrol bombs. So we might not be suffering from religious tension. You know, bombs might not be going on for religious tensions, but it is definitely going on. Handmade bombs are definitely being used for political tensions, you know. So it's very surprising to me that on one hand you want democracy and credible elections, and on the other hand people are being killed every day, and you know, they're injured and they're burning. So the motive is dialogue. I hope the motive is dialogue, but it's the country is not moving towards any dialogue. Even today, it's a nationwide strike.
Yeah. So you're saying that those tensions are also kind of casting a shadow on the celebrations mm-hmm. that are coming up, including the book fair?
Yes, definitely. Mm. And not just any celebration, but everyday life, you know? Mm-hmm. I can say just because I live in a particular protected area, I could say that, you know, I'm not injured and I'm not burnt directly, but I see people in other areas of my country being very badly affected, and they're constantly living in fear. So it's sad that, you know, it's happening in this month.
Yeah. Well, did you want to share other celebrations that are happening? And I know it's kind of hard to follow up on the celebrations after you talk about bombing, but...
But I would like to continue. I would like to continue with the celebrations. Yeah. I would focus on the happier note, and I hope that this political chaos stops right now. So Ekushe Padak, that is one of the highest civilian awards in Bangladesh, and that is awarded annually in memory of the sacrifices of this event. Mm. And then there is the Shahid Minar, or the Martyrs Monument, which is located near Dhaka Medical College. And this monument celebrates those who lost their life during the protests on 21st February 1952. And it was, it is a historical monument because it was first erected on 24th February 1952 by the students of Dhaka Medical College. Oh, wow. And it was destroyed by the police 2 days later.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And in 1954, it was constructed again. And by 1963, a larger monument under the supervision of architect Hamidur Rahman was completed. Mm. And it was also inaugurated by one of the movement victims' mother.
Oh, wow.
But unfortunately, Pakistani forces demolished the monument during the Bangladesh Liberation War of 1971.
Wow.
So, the monument went through a lot of demolition and destruction. But finally, the Bangladeshi government reconstructed it in 1973, which is like 2 years after the liberation of the country. And that is the Shahid Minar, the Martyrs Monument, which stands till date, where people from all walks of life gather with floral wreaths to pay respect to the martyrs. Mm. And on the first anniversary of the protests, people across East Bengal wore black badges in solidarity with the victims. And most offices, banks, and educational institutions were closed to observed the occasion, and student groups made agreements with college and police officials to preserve law and order on that day. So that was the first anniversary, but now it's long time after that. Mm-hmm. And inspired by this language movement in Bangladesh, there were several other language movements, and one of them took place in India. In 1961, yes, 11 Bengalis were killed. 11 Indian Bengalis were killed by police while the Bengalis were demanding state recognition of the Bengali language. But subsequently, Bengali was given co-official status in the three Bengali majority districts of Assam, which is in India. Mm-hmm. So the day is also partly celebrated in West Bengal as the Martyrs' Day in India.
Thank you. আমার আমি কে চিরদিন এই বাংলায় খুঁজে পাই, আমি বাংলায় গান গাই, আমি বাংলার গান গাই, আমি আমার আমি কে চিরদিন এই বাংলায় খুঁজে পাই, আমি বাংলায় দেখি স্বপ্ন, আমি বাংলায় বাঁধি সুখ, আমি এই বাংলার মায়া ভরা পথে হেঁটেছি এতটা দূর, বাংলায় আমার জীবনানন্দ, বাংলা প্রাণের সুর, আমি একবার দেখি বারবার দেখি দেখি বাংলার মুখ, বাংলায় আমার জীবনানন্দ, বাংলা প্রাণের সুর, আমি একবার দেখি বারবার দেখি দেখি বাংলার মুখ, আমি বাংলার কথা কই, আমি বাংলায় ভাসি, বাংলায় হাসি, বাংলায় জেগে রই, আমি বাংলায় কথা কই, আমি বাংলার কথা কই, আমি বাংলায় ভাসি, বাংলায় হাসি, বাংলায় জেগে রই, আমি বাংলায় মাতি উল্লাসে করি বাংলায় হাহাকার, আমি সব দেখে শুনে খেপে গিয়ে করি বাংলায় চিৎকার, বাংলায় আমার দৃপ্তি।
You are listening to Bread and Roses and I'm Zoe Piliafis. We just finished listening to Ami Bangli Gan Gai. Tonight we're celebrating International Mother Language Day as we play an interview with Bangladeshi journalist Monica Islam. In this final part of our interview, we ask Monica why it is so important to preserve and celebrate linguistic diversity. Monica, why do you think it is so important to preserve and promote linguistic diversity in your country and also worldwide?
Okay. Now, as I've mentioned before, that the United Nations, you know, had something very interesting to say, that when you uphold the principles of, social justice, when you promote gender equality or the rights of indigenous peoples and migrants, when you let people speak in a language that they choose to, you are indirectly advocating for peaceful coexistence within and among nations. And I just want to quote something from the United Nations website. So it said that languages are the most powerful instruments of preserving and developing our tangible and intangible heritage, and all moves to promote the dissemination of mother tongues will serve not only to encourage linguistic diversity, but also to develop fuller awareness of linguistic and cultural traditions throughout the world, and to inspire solidarity based on understanding, tolerance, and dialogue. And that is something that I feel truly embodies the language movement. Mm. And on the other hand, while working on an assignment on multicultural parenting, I found out that many studies have reported that speaking in more than one language results in an increased stimulation of the brain, and this will help any person in this age of globalization, it will help any person to be better prepared to connect with others.
I've encountered that even in Bangladesh, there are some people that are seeing, you know, the celebration around, you know, the Bengali language as kind of linguistic chauvinism. They feel that it's kind of taking away from the attention of maybe other places in the world where people are still struggling around their language, or maybe becoming a little bit too prescriptive as to how the language should be spoken and who should be speaking the language. What are your opinions on that? What do you think about this?
Okay, so now every ideology has a borderline that should not be crossed. So there must be moderation in everything. It is good to feel attached to the country in which you reside and to the country's traditions, including language, but over-enthusiasm or ultra-nationalism can lead to extreme actions, which may even cost lives. So a country, any country, must safeguard its own interest. I understand that, but it must keep the well-being of other countries in mind too. And, you know, any country must not safeguard its interest at the expense of other countries' welfare. Sometimes a few citizens, you know, they get carried away by emotions to an extent where they feel that Bengali is the only superior language or that Bangladesh is the best country. Now, I do not believe that, you know, I do not. And I do not believe that the language movement was about the superiority of any language at all. It was about the rights of human beings to communicate in whichever language they choose to. So in our country, for instance, the Bengali language is respected, but I'm yet to see a nationwide collective event where the language of indigenous people is marked with equal enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So, and like I said earlier, we also have different regional dialects of the Bengali language. And based on respective cities, for example, like I said, in Sylhet and you know, in Sylhet and Chittagong, those are like other cities of my country. Bengali is spoken in a different style, but it appears that not all of them are popularized in mainstream culture. So we must be careful, you know, we must not be blinded by any ideology. Respect Bengali language, promote Bengali literature, help others learn more about Bangladesh, but all of these should not be a source of contempt, you know. It should not be a source of contempt for foreign languages and cultures. It should not be like you know, foreign languages cannot enter my country. We are not a closed country. I'm sorry, we cannot be. So, yeah.
Thank you, Manakai. What do you feel will be the far-reaching effects of Mother Language Day in Bangladesh and worldwide?
Far-reaching effects. Okay, so in Bangladesh, the Mother Language Day works to preserve the country's history, you know, the linguistic history, especially for, like I said, for the younger generation. You know, I think without the celebration of these of this day, of the Mother Language Day, people in Bangladesh would not have been aware about how the Bengali language came into recognition, and maybe. Like you said, since many people of Bangladesh are being educated in English medium schools, you know, Bengali language would have died long time back if this Mother Language Day was not celebrated.
So
I think for, you know, for Bangladesh, it really, the day works to you know, create awareness among younger generations. And incidentally, it is this day is celebrated by you know, English medium schools. So I don't want to sort of, you know, sound as someone who's demonizing English medium schools, they do, you know, the school administrations do celebrate this day very elaborately. So and the younger generations, there's no scope. I believe there is no scope for the younger generation to really, you know, disrespect or forget Bengali language. Mm-hmm. And globally, I don't know, globally, I believe the Mother Language Day is a celebration of people's rights to linguistic freedom and even freedom of expression. One topic which is so popular these days. So I think language is the first step to freedom of expression. And I believe the day also reminds us to be selfless in pursuing human rights and social justice. Many people died in the language movement and you know, the subsequent liberation war. And they never got to taste the kind of freedom that they so passionately fought for. So even in times of uncertainty, they had unwavering conviction in their cause. And I believe sometimes this conviction and the selflessness is missing in some of the movements these days.
Yeah. So, and I think that this is the bigger point that you are making, which is it's about respect and it's about, including the perspectives of all, right? So not trying to impose one perspective. Absolutely.
Yes.
And I'm very thankful for the connection that you made between, language and freedom of expression, right? Like having the freedom to speak your own language is the first step towards freedom of expression. I think it's very important to remember, especially in this global context, right, where lots of people speak English, where the most common language to communicate with, you know, especially online, is English, where people migrate and live, you know, for generations, but sometimes have just moved to a new country, etc. So making sure that there is this that we embrace and support all of those. So
absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And I was wondering, to conclude, if you can talk a little bit about why you are so determined and personally interested in promoting International Mother Language Day. What's your message to the people of the world as we celebrate all of the mother tongues on the planet on February 21st?
Now, I believe that we live in an interdependent reality where every culture or country has something positive to give back to the society. Now, many times, like you mentioned, you know, many times we see that certain nations get under or even overrepresented due to superpower status and other such reasons. And for instance, you know, Chinese language is becoming popular in my country. Mm-hmm. But do we even offer African languages? If not, why? We need to think about that. So I feel it is my duty to take every opportunity to more broadly represent marginalized communities and to get their stories out to the world. And I also choose my professions accordingly, where I can contribute to a bigger cause. I do not necessarily work for money alone. I want to advance human rights and social justice as much as I can. And having said that, International Mother Language Day is personally meaningful to me because I want to support people's rights to linguistic freedom. And languages must be protected, and no language should be forced into extinction or, like we are saying, that African languages are not popular. And why are they not? We really need to think. So my message to the world would be that be proud of whatever language it is that you choose to express yourself. Communicate fearlessly, promote your language, and be active in preserving it. But be respectful of other languages too. And do not let your patriotism get in the way of your tolerance and generosity for others. So that would be my message.
Beautiful
Thank
message.
You, Monica. You are listening to Bread and Roses, and again, I'm Zoe Pliafis. Tonight we played for you an interview with Bangladeshi journalist Monica Islam discussing the upcoming celebration, which is tomorrow, February 21st, of International Mother Language Day. Worldwide, the celebration is an opportunity to promote linguistic and cultural diversity. So tomorrow, experience a different language than your own. Listen to music in a language foreign to you. Watch a film. Attend a conversation table. Learn and practice speaking in a different language. And broaden your perspective. Hey, Dal.
Hey, Zoe.
While I was sitting here, I looked up a word in your language.
Oh, really?
Bonjour.
Well, actually, Zoe, it's the evening, so it would be bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Yes. So, yes, please, folks, do that. Experience a different language. Like, we've been playing some songs in Bengali. In fact, that is those pure Bengali, as Monica would say, for you this evening. And I hope you take us up on the opportunity to broaden our horizons. We all need it. We always need it. Thank you, of course, for listening to Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identify radio activists, and we bring you feminist news and public affairs programming every Friday at 6 p.m. Well, next week, we will have Pamela Santos, who will bring you an interview she did with DJ Cotton Candy about hip-hop, activism, and radical parenting. You are going to love it. Zoe, again, welcome to Bread and Roses.
Thanks, Del.
And thank you for this great first evening and interview. I wish you all a wonderful evening, and we're going to leave you with another song in Bengali. This is Ek Sagor, Rakhtar Binyami.
Ek Sagor, Rakhtar Binyami. Well, good Friday after. Good Friday evening. My name is DJ Erickson, and it is almost straight o'clock, 7 o'clock, and you're listening to 90.7 KBOO Portland. Coming up is your Friday edition of Hard Knock Radio for your Friday. Coming up here at KBOO Community Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film Malcolm X, playing at the Clinton Street Theater February 21st and the 22nd at 7 p.m. Starring Denzel Washington, this biographical film about Malcolm X by Spike Lee will be playing to honor the 50th anniversary of Malcolm X assassination. That's the film, Malcolm X, playing at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland, on Saturday, February 21st, and Sunday, February 22nd at 7 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is a proud sponsor with Runaway Productions of Northwest Hip Hop Fest 4, February 27, 2015 at the Hawthorne Theater, 1507 Southeast 39th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. Bad